I think that all of us, even the men in the room, would confess that there's times in this life where we need directions. We know we're trying to go somewhere, but we don't know how to get there. And so we need to use whatever resources. Nowadays, you can put it up in your phone and GPS, or you can put it in the car, but we need to find the resources for how we're going to get there. It used to be we used those things called maps. You pulled it out of the glove compartment or wherever, and you opened it up, and you plotted your line out and said, okay, this way is longer, this way is shorter, so we're going to go this way, but no, actually, maybe not, because that has tolls, and so we'll take the other way instead. But we all have to figure out where we're going, and we need help getting there. We can't just get there on our own. We need something to help us. It's the same thing with life in general. We all need help in life. We all need direction in life. If we're going to do it well, if we're going to do it successfully, if we're going to get where we want to go, we need people and we need things to help us on that journey. I mean, think about any successful business person. Do you think they got there on their own? Or did they have people that poured into their lives? Did they have life coaches that helped them, that gave them business principles, that taught them how to spend their money and how to do the right things with it to be successful? Think about an athlete who's been very successful in their career. Did they get there on their own? Or did they maybe get a little help from those around them, the coaches that poured in their lives, the coaches that told them how to train properly, how to be successful? And so it's the same for our lives as Christians. If we're in the Christian faith and we're just trying to become successful Christians, if we're trying to be like Christ, if we're trying to be faithful to do what he tells us to do, but we're all on our own. We have nobody pouring into our lives, nobody helping us. Are we going to be successful? And are we going to be as successful as we could be with the help of those that come around us? And so thankfully, as Christians, we have a shepherd, Jesus Christ, who perfectly cares for us, who leads us where we need to go. And we can follow him, we trust him, because we know that he's been so good to us, so faithful. We know that he loves us perfectly. And so when he says, go this way, we say, okay, I'm going that way. When he says, go that way, we go that way. Because we know that he's not going to lead us astray. And so we have a shepherd who is leading us. Well, in Jesus' divine wisdom, Jesus also appoints sinful, messed up people that he says are going to be under-shepherds of the flock. You get that? Jesus himself, God in the flesh, perfect, says, I'm going to take people who are not perfect. I'm going to take people who are all messed up, who have all their flaws, who have all their quirks, and I'm going to appoint them over little flocks of my people. And I'm going to call them to shepherd my people. They're going to be what we call under-shepherds. Jesus is the shepherd. And then there's under-shepherds that he places in the church. And thankfully, I'm thankful that the under-shepherds aren't even by themselves trying to do it on their own, trying to use their own strength, trying to use their own ability, but rather God empowers them by the power of his Spirit and gifts them in ways that they can't understand to lead the people of God so that they will know where to go and how to live in this life. And so in God's grace, he's led me here to College Park Baptist Church. And he's given me, by his grace, the wonderful opportunity to be under-shepherd of this congregation. The key part of that word, though, is under-shepherd. And that means that I'm not here by my own authority. If I get up and I'm just speaking my own mind, if it's just things that I'm coming up with, that's not right. But rather, I'm under the authority of Jesus Christ, and I lead according to the Word of God. In today's sermon, Peter is focusing on the instructions for leaders in the church. I told John, I said, I should have had you preach this one, because it's a little bit weird to preach to myself. And so Peter's instructing the elders in the church and how they should lead the church. And so this sermon today is actually for me. So you're just kind of here along for the ride. I'm just preaching to myself, so you just sit tight and you listen. But this is for me. But it does demonstrate to you as a church what you can expect from your pastor and what your pastor should be doing. And so sometimes even pastors need help. Sometimes there might be a time where you see a pastor that's not doing what the Word of God tells them to do. and as a congregation, we are all sheep. We're all part of God's kingdom. We're all part of the flock. Then you can go to that pastor, that shepherd, and you can say, you know what? There's this area of your life where maybe you're not shepherding according to God's word. And so it's important for you as well to know what is the role of the under-shepherd. What am I supposed to do? And so I'm going to preach this message to myself. And so if you're able to, please stand with me as we read God's word today. First Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have given us a shepherd, Jesus Christ, who leads and guides us perfectly, who knows exactly what we need as a sheep. And so, God, we pray that you would lead us to be faithful to you, to be devoted to you. God, we pray that you would give us the necessary food that we need. And God, we pray for this church. We pray that you would help us as your flock to do what you've called us to do. I pray that you would help me to be a faithful under-shepherd and to serve you faithfully here in this congregation. And so, God, we pray that you would speak to us all today through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. So Peter, he denies Jesus Christ, that he even knows Jesus. Jesus dies on the cross. He raises again from the grave. And then after this, Jesus comes to Peter and he exhorts him. And he says, feed my sheep. Three times he tells him in different ways to feed the sheep. Well, here in this text, Peter's taking the exhortation that he received from Jesus, and he's turning it around. He's saying, I was exhorted to feed the sheep. Now I'm turning it around to all of you other elders, all those under-shepherds, and I'm telling you the same message. Feed the sheep. Elders are the same as pastors or overseers. We have different words in the Greek that really mean the same position in the church, but they're demonstrating different nuances of the role. And so pastor, elder, overseer, bishop, they're all speaking to the pastor or pastors of a church. After Peter addresses the elders in this passage, he demonstrates his credibility. He says that he was also an elder and that he actually saw Christ. Why does he do this? If he's writing to elders and he's telling them, look, here's what you need to do, who do they want to listen to? Who do we want to listen to? We want to listen to the person that's already done what we're doing. We want to listen to the person who has experience. And so Peter here is saying, look, I have experience. I've worked in this role as an elder, and I've even seen Christ. And so listen to what I say. As Peter instructs elders to shepherd the flock, first he mentions three ways not to do it. And so here's what I am not supposed to do. Do not shepherd under compulsion. Pastors shouldn't be lazy. It shouldn't be something that they have to be dragged out of bed to do, but rather willingly. It's what they want to do. It's what God's gifted them to do, that they would find joy and delight in it, even when it's challenging. And so they should not shepherd under compulsion. They should not shepherd for the purpose of making money. It's not that a pastor should do this because they say, you know what, if I can get in bigger churches and in nicer areas, I can actually make a lot of money doing this. This should not be the motivation for the pastor. They should not do so proudly or harshly, but humbly recognizing that we are no better, that we are all equal in the image of God. And then Peter says, if the elder is faithful in his role, there's an eternal reward. But where I want to focus today is what it means for the elder to shepherd the flock. What are some aspects of a shepherd that are important to us today? And so first of all, the shepherd herds the flock or leads the flock where they need to go. Last week we talked about persecution. We talked about how in our country there may be a day very soon where we are facing persecution as Christians. There may be a day coming where we can't get up and speak the Word of God faithfully. And so we talked about how that day could come very quickly. Well, we look at our election and we see, you know what? Maybe as a nation, we've been given a break. Maybe we've been demonstrated the grace of God and it's going to continue for us to be easy as Christians. Maybe we're going to be able to just relax a little bit longer and be able to gather together and be able to tell people that we're Christians without them really getting real upset or without persecution actually coming into our lives. And so in a way, we're excited and we're, thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you for your grace. But what happens when people get comfortable? We have to think about that. In Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 14, it says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." The Israelites are dependent on God. They were slaves. And he rescues them out of it and says, "I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey." And they finally get to this land and they have everything that they need. Everything is going great. It's really comfortable there. But what happens to Israel? They forget. They get comfortable. They forget where they were. They forget who God was, and they don't obey God any longer. They don't do what they're supposed to do. They stop obeying his commandments. They become complacent in the things of God. And so I think we've already been here, but I think if it remains easy to be a Christian in America, we're going to continue to be complacent about the things of God. All over America, there's people in churches who don't really know the Lord. They haven't surrendered their life to Christ because it's real easy to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I identify with those people. But if it got tough, they'd be out the door. And so we need people to spur us along. We need people to lead us, to turn us in the right direction, to keep us moving towards the goal. And so that is part of my role as the shepherd, is to lead this flock, lead this congregation. And so my desire and my goal is to lead you, first of all, to know God more. To know the Word of God, to know who He is that we see through the Scriptures. To know His character, to know His qualities, to know His attributes. To know Him personally in our lives better. But not only to know God better, but also to live like Jesus. In our lives, as we hear the preaching of God's Word, He speaks to us, and hopefully He's convicting us of sin in our lives. And so over our life, even as we get older, God kind of taps us on the shoulder through His Word and says, "You know what? You've been doing this for a long time, and you thought it was okay, or you wanted to ignore it, and you thought you could get away with it. But let me tell you, I'm calling you to repentance. I'm calling to give that up, to be more like Jesus Christ." And so part of my role is to lead us towards sanctification. And I think one of the most challenging parts is to lead us to make more disciples. That the flock would grow. That the kingdom of God would grow. And so we're going to keep speaking this. We're going to keep working at this. We're going to grow in this area more and more. That is what we are called to do. We're not called to become Christians so that we're saved for our own benefit. Just so we can sit in church and say, "Okay, I've been rescued. I've been saved. Now I'm just going to sit here and I'm not going to do anything." That's not why we're saved. We're saved to bring glory to God through making more disciples. That more and more people would join the kingdom of God through our efforts. God gives us that privilege and that opportunity. And so that is my desire, is to lead us more and more in that direction. And we need to realize that sometimes it isn't comfortable. Sometimes doing what God calls us to do, doing what we need to do, is not comfortable. We need to be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone over and over and over again. I'm going to be stretched a little bit, and then when it gets comfortable, I'm going to be stretched a little bit more. And that's what we need to do. Sometimes we might be going up the steep banks. Sometimes we're going to have to go through the river against the current. It's not always going to be easy, and so we need people to lead us. And the map we are using to where we are going as the flock of God is the Word of God. And so we look at God's Word and we see, God, where do you want us to go? That's where we are going. And so as we're speaking about the Word of God as our map, another role of the shepherd is to feed the flock. So lead the flock and then feed the flock. If the sheep don't eat, there's going to be a serious problem. If the sheep don't eat, the shepherd's going to have to throw a little party, a mutton and lamb party. The sheep must eat. The sheep must be fed. In Jeremiah 3:15, it says, "And I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you." Feed you with what? With knowledge and understanding. In the Old Testament, God sending shepherds to feed them with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge of God. Who is this God that we serve? Understanding of how to live. This is what we see in the Proverbs, right? How do we live well as Christians, as God's people, in a world that's not about Him? And so we need to know knowledge of how to live well in this world. Where does this knowledge come from? It comes from the Bible. This is our instruction book. This is how God speaks to us. He's given this word through prophets, through apostles, divinely inspired by the Spirit of God to speak to us His words. We have to remember this is the actual Word of God that we have in writing. This is the clearest we can get it. We have it right here with us. And so this is where the spiritual food comes from, the Bible. And through the preaching of God's Word. The importance of preaching is continually emphasized in the New Testament over and over and over again. I just want to point out a couple places. 2 Timothy 4. Paul is writing to Timothy, one of his disciples, and he's giving Timothy instructions for the church and personal instructions how to live. And Paul says to Timothy, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom." That's a pretty big charge right there. I'm charging you by God who's going to judge people, including you. And so what does he say to do? In verse 2, he says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." He says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Paul says to Timothy, you got to preach the word. You got to keep preaching the word. And you need to do it according to the word of God, because there's going to be people who are going to come in and just say what people want to hear. We see that so much in our country right now. So many of the biggest churches. Big churches are not always better. When you look at really big churches that have grown really fast, it doesn't mean necessarily there's anything wrong, but you have to ask the question, why is it so attractive to people? And some of them are not preaching the Word of God. They're preaching what people want to hear. And so we need to inspect what we're hearing. 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul says again to Timothy, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching." This is why we're reading Scripture at the beginning of the service. In churches, we've gotten away from reading passages of the Bible. We think that that's strange, or that it's archaic to just read a big portion of the Bible. This is the Word of God, and Paul calls Timothy to read the Word of God. Don't stop doing it, he says. Keep reading the Word of God. And so we do that. John Owen, he was a Puritan and a preacher himself, he says the first and principal duty of a pastor is to feed the flock by diligent preaching of the word. This is why biblical preaching should be essential when you're looking for a church. There may be a day when you're not here anymore, that you might be searching for a church. Keep in mind that you want to look for biblical preaching. That should be one of the main things you're looking for in a church. Biblical preaching, it doesn't mean it's going to be the most polished. It doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be the most exciting. But you want to make sure that you're hearing preaching that's dividing the Word of God, that's explaining the Word of God, and then applying the Word of God to your life. Not just taking a little sentence and just saying, well, this is what I want to talk about today. And so I think that this verse kind of goes with that. It's not always what feels good, but it's the whole counsel of God. Are you hearing the difficult things from Scripture? Are you hearing the things that the preacher might not want to get up and say from Scripture when you hear preaching? One of the biggest churches in America today, the pastor does not want to talk about sin. He does not want to talk about hell. Let me tell you, people need to realize, they need to know that there's sin in their lives. They need to know that they're guilty before God. They need to know what's going to happen to them if they don't trust in God. It's not the gospel. It's not good news if you don't understand the problem. We've talked about it a lot, but people don't want to take the medicine if they don't realize they're sick. And so if we leave out sin, if we leave out hell, people don't see that they need Jesus. And so you need to make sure that you're getting the whole counsel of God's word. But the shepherd's not done here. It's not just about leading the flock where they need to go. It's not about just getting them the food. But if you think about sheep, do they have big teeth? Are they real fast? Do they have vicious claws? Think about a sheep. Sheep aren't the meanest animals, but they have a lot of enemies out there. And one of the roles of the pastor is to protect the flock that God has placed them over. The sheep would make great food for a coyote or a wolf to come in and to prey on them. And so the pastor, the elder, must protect them. In Matthew 7:15, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Jesus is warning them. There's going to be people who come who look just like you. They're sitting in the seats among you, but they're not really sheep. They're not really followers of Christ. They're actually wolves who are in there to destroy you. They're going to try and teach you things that aren't of the Word of God. They're going to try and ruin your lives, but they look just like you. In Acts 20:28-30, Paul speaks to the elders in Ephesus. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained through his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them." And so part of the role of the pastor is to protect you from the enemy, protect you from the wolves that want to sneak in. But it's not just wolves. That's not the only enemy of us as sheep. But there's also an ancient serpent who's been around for a long time. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says he's the god of this world, small g. What does that mean? Satan is the god of this world. Listen to this quote. This means that Satan is the major influence on the ideals, opinions, goals, hopes, and views of the majority of people. His influence also encompasses the world's philosophies, education, and commerce. The thoughts, ideas, speculations, and false religions of the world are under his control and have sprung from his lies and deceptions. We have enemies that sneak in as wolves, but we also have a serpent who would like to destroy us, who would like to deceive us, who would like to make us ineffective on our mission for God. And so the role of the shepherd is to guard the sheep. But at times, sheep wander off. At times, sheep go astray. What happens when they go astray? They put themselves into danger. They're putting themselves right out there. The wolf can attack them. They're putting themselves right out there where the serpent can attack them. They're taking themselves away from the food that they need, from the nutrition that they need. And so therefore, when a sheep goes astray, the shepherd must lead them back lovingly. Many shepherds would have staffs that also had a crook on it. They don't all have this, but a lot of them do, a lot of them did. And so the hook could be used either to get a lamb and to just grab them by the neck and bring them back into the flock, or I was reading about how they could pick up their back leg with that hook, and they would put all their weight on the other three legs, and they couldn't go any further. And so there was a shepherd who could go and tend to them then and take care of them then. And so part of the shepherd's job is to grab those who are trying to go astray, those who are wandering away from the flock into danger. I believe this fits well here. God uses, first of all, other members of the church to keep us in line, but the pastor is also part of that accountability in our lives. And so as a church, part of what we want to do is make sure that people, first of all, don't just slip away. We let it happen too often. Somebody stops showing up. They're gone for a week. We think, well, they'll be back next week. They're gone 2 weeks. We think, well, maybe they're sick. They're gone 3 weeks. We think, I should have called them before. They're gone 4 weeks. They're gone 6 months. They're gone 6 years. Slipped away from the flock, and nobody tried to get a hold of them. Nobody grabbed them and said, hey, what are you doing? You're going out into a dangerous place. Don't do it. Come back. And so our role and my role is to look for those who are wandering away from the flock into danger and say, you know what, come back where it's safe. Come back, don't do it. Don't you realize the danger that you're in? And so as a church, we're going to work to make sure that people don't fall into the dangerous pits of sin. If we notice somebody wandering, we're going to lovingly address it and call them back to where it's safe. And so what does this mean for me? Let's apply this for me. What this means is that I have a large responsibility, a daunting responsibility. Hebrews 13:17, listen to what this says. Obey your leaders and submit to them. That's not the point I'm focusing on. For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, but that would be no advantage to you. Did you get that? Those who will give an account. That means that one day I'm going to stand before God. And I don't know how it's going to sound exactly, but something like, Pete, I put you at College Park Baptist Church. I told you to shepherd that flock. And you know what it means to be a shepherd. How did you do? What happened to so-and-so? What happened to this person? Did you shepherd them well? Did you care for them? Did you feed them? Did you see them going astray? Did you bring them back, or did you just let them go out into the wilderness? And so pastors are going to be held accountable by God. And so I'm asking you to pray for me every day. Pray for me, pray for John, pray for whatever pastors come in the future of this church. But understand the role of the shepherd and understand that they're going to give an account before God and that they need your help. And so please pray for us continually. What does this mean for you? It means that as long as I am following God's word for my own life, and as long as I'm following God's word for the vision for this church, be willing to follow. Realize that God has given an under-shepherd because he sees that that is the best thing for the flock to be productive, to be effective, to be safe, to do what the flock needs to do. And so be willing to follow even when it's not necessarily what you would prefer. When you look and you see, you know what, I don't think I would do that way. If it's a preference, be willing to follow anyways. You can state your feeling, but when it comes down to it, say, you know what, that's not that important. If this is the leader God has given us, we will follow as long as he's leading according to God's word and living according to God's word. I can't stress that enough. And follow even when it gets difficult. Even when it's something you don't want to do, if it's coming through me from the Word of God, it's not my words anyways, it's God's words. And so even if it's challenging, say, you know what? I don't like that. That makes me uncomfortable. But you know what? It's God's Word. And so I'm going to do it anyways. But as you follow, do so like the Bereans. Paul talks about the Bereans in Acts. Paul was speaking to them. He's speaking the Word of God. He's telling them about Jesus. And what do? Do they just say, okay, I'm in. We'll follow. Yep, sign us up. Here we go. The Bereans, they searched God's Word. They look at the Old Testament, the scriptures that they had, and they study it, and they search it, and they ask questions. Is this the Word of God? Is this true? Is this right? Is this a message from God, or is it just from this crazy man, Paul? And so I ask you to follow as sheep, but not blindly. Use wisdom. Search the Word of God. Don't take anything I say up here just because I say it. Don't take anything John says just because he says it. Rather, question the things we say. Is this what the Word of God says? Is this the direction that God would want us to go? And read your Bibles, study your Bibles, and see if it is so. If it is, follow. If it's not, come to us and tell us. You know what? You said this, Pastor, but I was reading God's Word, and I believe that it doesn't mean that, that it actually says this. Can we look at that together? And so follow the under-shepherd, but don't do it blindly. Make a commitment to be here on Sunday mornings. Make it a priority. We all need continual nourishment of God's Word in our lives. I understand we go on vacation. I understand we go and we visit family. I understand we may have to work a job that we can't get out of. I understand those things. Those things happen, and there's times where we can't be here on Sunday mornings. But if possible, we need to make it a priority in our lives. Not only because we need to be fed by the Word of God, but also people are watching our lives. The non-Christians around you, they're looking at your life and they're looking for a way to make an excuse. They're looking to say, I don't believe in Jesus because the church is full of hypocrites. Look at so-and-so. They say they're so devoted to God, but on Sunday morning it's clear that they would rather do fill in the blank. I see it in their life. And so we need to be here because we need to be fed by the Word of God, but also people are watching our lives and we need to be an example for them. Remember that if I'm going to be a good shepherd, my job is to go after you if you go astray. Churches have been so comfortable. We've become so comfortable in casual, acceptable sin in churches, where the church never says anything. You can just fall into sin. You can do whatever you want, basically, and you can kind of get away with it. Nobody confronts you. Nobody warns you of the damage you're going to cause to your family or to your friends or to your own body. You just look over it. That's not the role of the church, and it's not the role of the pastor. And so know that when you sign up to be a Jesus follower, when you say, I want to be part of the kingdom of God, the household of God, know that in that house there's discipline. In that house there's rules. And when those rules aren't followed, somebody needs to come to you and say, you broke the rule. Don't do it again. You broke the rule. Here's the consequences. You broke the rule. How can I help you from not doing it again? And so be willing as part of this flock, part of this congregation, to say, you know what? When I became a Christian, my life became not my life anymore. But rather, this is my family. I'm an open book to them. And so if somebody sees something in my life that's not pleasing to the Lord, something that's going to damage my witness for the Lord, I want people to come and to confront me about that. I don't want to be a distraction for non-Christians. I don't want to hinder the witness of Christ. And so just realize that if you are part of this congregation, if you're part of the flock of God, and it's our job as a church and mine as a pastor, if I see something clearly in your life to say, hey, I love you, glad for all the things you've done, this is what the Scripture says. How can we work on this? How can you overcome this sin in your life? And so be willing to accept being led back if necessary. But you know what the most important thing for all of us here today is? That we know the one true shepherd. That's the most important part. That's the most important part of this message. Not the under shepherd, but the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so do we know him? Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. God made the universe. God created us in his image. And God has a right and a wrong. God has a way that he calls us to live. And the Bible says every single one of us in this room, every single one of us on this earth, every person that has ever been alive has turned their own way. In their hearts, God has told us through our conscience, he has told us what is right and what is wrong. And in our hearts, every single person that has ever lived has said, God, I don't want to follow you. I don't want to go your way. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to go this way. I know you want me to go that way, but I don't care because I don't like that way. And so every person has gone astray. You know what that means? That means that every single person deserves God's punishment. Do you know why? Because God is perfect. Because God is just. What if God let murderers go free? What if God let rapists go free? He wouldn't be a just God. Well, God is so holy that he can't even allow the smallest sin to go free because he is so perfect and so holy that every single sin must be punished. If it wasn't that way, he wouldn't be a good God. He wouldn't be just. He would be a bad judge. And so we need to understand that all of us, because we've sinned against God, because we've gone astray our own way, we deserve God's punishment in our lives. John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know what that means? It means that we deserved God's punishment, but Jesus laid down his life. Jesus stepped into our place and said, you know what? I will take the punishment that you deserve from God. And he died on the cross and he rose again to show that he defeated sin and death. That means that even though we've all turned our own way, that Jesus calls us and says, I will forgive you. Not because I don't punish sin. He will forgive us because the payment was made. And so the most important thing for all of us is that at some point in our life, we've come to grasp, first of all, that we've turned our own way, that we've sinned against God, to recognize that we do deserve his punishment. But then that we would at some point recognize that we said in our lives, whether out loud or whether in our hearts, you know what, God, I don't want to go that way anymore. I don't want to continue to wander and stray for you. I don't want to go my own path. Instead, I'm going to go your way. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to try and do what you tell me to do. And the whole time I'm going to do it knowing that all my sins are forgiven by Jesus Christ, the shepherd who became the lamb for my sins. So I challenge you today, if you haven't trusted in Christ, if you're still going your own way, if you're still doing your own thing, if you don't care what God says, today, decide to follow him. Decide to trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you don't leave us wandering around in this world, but you've given us a shepherd, Jesus Christ, who also became the precious Lamb of God, who went on the cross as the sacrifice to take the penalty of our sins. God, I pray that every one of us in here would believe that. that we would see that our own lives, the way we were going, is destructive, that we would trust in you for forgiveness. God, I pray that we would be thankful that you give us shepherds, under-shepherds, who lead us. Even though they have their own quirks, even though they have their own sinfulness, God, you gift fallen, sinful men to lead your people. So God, I pray for me personally. I pray that you would help me to lead this flock well, according to your word, diligently. And I pray that we would go forward as a flock to be faithful, to be obedient to God, to do what God asks us to do. That as we go forth, we would make disciples of Palatka, disciples of all nations for the name of Jesus Christ. So God, we thank you that you lead us. We thank you that you feed us. We thank you that you protect us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John's